Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast, brought to you by Harvey Norman's bonus wine offer on Selected Electrical.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Adelaide 11-22-88 last night, too good for Richmond 8-4-52. And I'm excited because our next guest joins us for the first time on the Dead Set Legends.
First time.
And we're a big fan of his work. His name is Rory Sloan. He's on the line now. G'day, Rory.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Oh, how are you, brother? Congratulations on the performance of your footy club last night. Richmond are in red hot form. They just knocked off the reigning premiers, and in many ways, you dominated them last night, Rory.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was probably our best four-quarter game in terms of pressure I think we've had all year. And wish probably could have put a high score on the board, but now we're just getting picky, I think. But that was great to beat an informed Richmond because, as you said, they've been playing some really good footy, and we're probably the team to beat at the moment. And we need to respond after last week against Sydney as well. So it was a good result for us.
Absolutely, Rory. Well done. You dominated, as you said, in every area other than probably didn't kick straight. That was the only little downfall. What about your own form? I thought you were very good, especially in the first half last night. You took the helmet off. Was that the reason?
Yeah, I think so. It was last week up in Sydney, it was quite humid and got way, way too hot and
itchy.
Itchy. I don't think I could think as well in it either. Must have stopped my brain from working as well. So I'm putting that down to it. And I felt really confident that I could run around now without it. And it was good to
It wasn't,
take it off again.
For a surfer boy from down the coast with the long flowing locks, it wasn't a good look, Rory. Did you feel a little embarrassed running out in it?
No, not at all. I wanted to play footy really bad, and I'd do anything to play footy a bit quicker than. It got me back a couple of weeks quicker, so I felt really confident while I was wearing it, but just unfortunately couldn't play as well in it.
No, a couple of your other leaders really stood up. Your captain last night, Big Tex, and Danger, he was massive. And I noticed as you guys ran out of the race, Danger went up to Big Tex, just patted him on the back. You could see words of encouragement, need a big game from you tonight, captain, and they both stood up.
Yeah, they did. Really put it on all the leaders, like Scotty Tomo, Nathan Van Berle coming back into the team as well. We put it on all the leaders this week to really respond because when your leaders play well, and you need them to play well every week, but that's generally when you play at your best.
Clearly, the game plan was to take time and space away from the Tigers. Didn't allow them uncontested marks like they had the week before.
Yeah, definitely. And we just wanted to make sure our pressure back on them was at the level because Sydney probably touched us up in that area and really showed us probably a standard that needs to be set. And Richmond showed that last week against Hawthorn as well. So for us to do it for four quarters was just a really good effort.
Danger is going very, very nicely. I'm not going to ask you whether he's going to come back here. I'm more interested in the pubs that you own. Apparently you own a pub with him and Roo. Is this a true story?
Yeah, so myself, Tex and Danger all bought in the a little slice of Roo's wealth, I reckon.
Portfolio.
Portfolio. But no, we're learning a bit off Roo, and yeah, the Alma's a pub, and it's out in Norwood Way, if you know Adelaide at all.
They do a good Palmer.
Yes, I
do amazing food, actually. Oh. Really, really good food over there. And we spend a bit of time there. We run bingo nights, and we have a bit of fun there. It's very good. And Roo, I mean, you boys know Roo pretty well. He's very smart man, and learning a bit about business and that sort of thing as well, which has been very handy to take our mind off footy at times.
Well, I'll tell you how good Roo is. He's got his fingers in just about every pie, and you're right. He makes sure how he's got one hand on the till. He keeps his eye across everything. So these boys would be involved. Are you also involved in the Hackney as well?
No, that's Nathan Van Berle and Bernie Vince are involved in that
okay,
one.
Okay, so he's just recruited all the footballers to just be involved.
His hand on the till. Are you trying to say that Danger and Rory might be partaking in removing money from the till that they shouldn't be?
No, I'm just saying he's got his eye across absolutely every part of his business. I tell you, this is
Roo even, mate, when people are pouring beers, Roo comes in and measures the froth, how much froth's on top. So it's not just counting the till, it's measuring how much beer's been wasted as well.
Well, that's how good he is yesterday. The Channel 7 crew flew in and he had myself at the Hackney. He had Lingy at the Alma and he had Richo at some other pub doing gigs for him. So that's how well the Big Rupert's going.
it's pretty good, isn't it? He's the mayor of Adelaide, basically.
Rory, I've put it to Duck this morning that there's never been a more exciting, I'm not saying better, more exciting 150 games in the history of football than Cyril's play.
I've got another one.
Okay.
Well, I watched him last night.
What's his name?
Eddie Betts.
He's not as exciting as Cyril. Come on. No, what do you got for me, Rory? How exciting do you think Cyril's been in 150?
Oh, he's been incredible. I've played against him a couple of times where he's had probably around that sort of 10 to 15 touches.
Mm-hmm.
And just what he can do with that amount of sort of influence on the game, he's an incredible player. And one that I absolutely hate having the ball when he's around.
Now, Rory, before we let you go, from what I've been told, you're getting married soon. Again, true story?
Again?
No, not getting married again. We're not competing with Duck in this competition. Who are we marrying and what have you got lined up?
Marrying Belinda Reverso, actually. So myself and her are getting married up in Byron next October.
Byron.
We've got about three other guys from the club getting married this October, so we thought we'd do it next year. And exciting times ahead for us.
How long have you and beautiful Belinda been together?
About 4 or 5 years now. So
where did we meet?
Long enough. Met at the Saint, actually, of all places.
At the Saint. Oh.
Not a bad little establishment there.
And as we let you go, I feel like the old Richard Mercer on those love songs and dedications. How did you propose?
I'll give you a very short version.
Yes.
It was just at home. Oh. We're in our backyard. I put a sort of outdoor movie sort of thing up and I made a bit of a movie of all the photos and videos that we sort of accumulated over the years, and we just watched that. I put a little bit of effort into it, don't worry.
Very romantic.
Hey, Rory, I love that. That's given me a lift today. Best of luck in Byron when you head up there for your wedding, but best of luck, more importantly, at the moment for the Crows and the season ahead. Thanks for having a chat with us, mate. We really appreciate the time.
No worries. And I just want to say a quick good luck to Kane and Helmut, who are listening in to you boys right now. They're heading out to play some country footy. 2.5 hour drive they've got to play some footy today.
Kane and Big Helmo, who are they playing for?
I've just forgotten.
Oh, come on, Sony.
They're playing out in the Gippsland region, so.
And what type of players are Big Helmo? What does he bring to the table?
Oh, he cracks in, but it's more Kane. He's a little string bean. He used to be a very good runner, ran a bit for Australia, and now he just runs rings around everyone when he plays.
Well, good on them, boys. Thanks, Roy. I'm not surprised they're listening. The rest of Melbourne is as well.
Thanks for having me.
We duck some wonderful milestone games this weekend. Down at the Cattery tonight, one of the absolute warriors of the competition, Joel Selwood, plays game
200.
Number 200. He is a superstar. Debuted in the same year, or maybe just the year before, Cyril Rioli, who's playing game number 150 today. One of my favourites, Ducky. Have a listen to a little bit of Cyril in action.
Can run with a bit of room. He's got Rioli. Locks on Cyril. Oh!
Cyril! Oh! Get around him, boys.
What about that? He's one of the great champions of our game. He's 20 out. He puts it through. He's got three.
Okay, to get the Hawks the lead back, Cyril. He just steers this one through, the little champ.
Rioli always dangerous. He goes back and gets it and shovels it somehow. Yeah. He shoveled it to Hill. I'm bugging if I know how he did it. Some Cyril Rioli magic.
Now he pumps it towards full forward.
Oh. Back of top, Rioli. Cyril from the back of the pack. Big pack. Bombers collide. Cyril stays down and rams it home. Left foot long ball forward. Rioli dangerous out the back.
Oh, what a grab.
Magnificent grab, Rioli.
Fist away. Here's Rioli front and centre. Snaps around the body. Cyril bouncing. He has got it.
On the boundary line. Gets it to the top of the square. Cyril's lurking dangerously.
Cyril!
The biggest high-flying act you've ever seen in your life.
Suckling onto the left boot. Rioli!
Release the handball now to Mitchell, who's left foot kicker.
Oh! Cyril Rioli from nowhere.
That was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Tries to chip one. Is that Rioli down there? What about that grab? Plays on, weaves it around.
Junior boy Rioli.
You know you're an exciting player
yes.
when before the ball gets to you,
yes.
the commentators
lift.
Get excited.
I put it to you, Duck, that he has played the most exciting, not the best, not the most consistent, not the most stylish, but the best highlight packages, most exciting 150 games in the history of football.
Well, from my memory, there's a few guys that commentators got excited about.
Mm. As he points to himself.
Gary.
As he points
Gary
to himself
Ablett,
in the
that's
studio.
It. Why do you always set me up? Gary Ablett Sr.
Exciting, very.
Very exciting. Modra was just exciting. Unbelievable. I reckon, I was at the game last night. I tell you what. Every time Eddie Betts goes near the ball now, that 50,000 Adelaide supporters just get off their chairs. Alan Jakovic was another one that had a really, really exciting period.
This is such a momentous occasion that we haven't done this all year. Give us a call, 133353. We're opening the lines, 133353. Your prize is you get to speak to Duck. Tell us, if you can tell us a player that has played a more exciting 150 games than Cyril Rioli, or whether you in fact think his has been the most exciting 150. 133353, Cyril, has he played the most exciting 150 games? He's exciting when he tackles people.
I was about to say, without question, he's the most exciting player without the ball in his hands.
Exactly.
The commentators get excited just when he's in the area. He doesn't even have to get the ball.
Can I tell you a little Cyril story? Many a year ago, in his first year, I had the opportunity to travel to Darwin, and we were shooting a NAB AFL Rising Star story, and spent a day and a night with Cyril, with his father, Cyril Sr., with his mum, Kath, and with Michael Long, and we went fishing for barramundi. And barramundi come out at night time. So it's about 11 o'clock at night in a river in Darwin, and we're puttering along there. Michael Long's driving the boat, I'm in the front, and Cyril stands on I think they call it the prow of the boat, the very front of it, a foot on either side of it, balancing as we're cruising along with a wooden spear in his hand, and they shine a light, and you see the red eyes of the barramundi.
Yep.
Cyril threw the spear four times for the night and caught four barramundi. It was one of the more amazing things I've ever seen.
So he stood on like Karate Kid, balance
right.
on the boat.
Zing! Oldhowie.com had
awesome.
A go at it.
Yeah,
no I only speared my foot, and that was about it. Next, give us a call, 133353. Is Cyril the most exciting player you've seen in the history of the world? We've got Peter on the line. G'day, Pete.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, where are you ringing from, brother?
Just on the way into the MCG, actually, getting into the Collingwood-Carlton game. But I was just going to say, in the spirit of the multicultural round and being an avid Collingwood supporter, guys, I'd be going with Peter Dacos and a close second to Alan Didak, guys.
Peter Dacos and Alan Didak. So you're trying to tell me Peter Dacos is more exciting than Cyril Rioli?
Absolutely. Back in the day. Maybe a bit too much vintage for you to be there on the day, but he was absolutely awesome.
Yeah. What do you think, Ducky?
No, I like it. Dakes is a good one. Dids was exciting. I'm not sure he's in the same category as Dakes and
right.
Cyril.
Dan joins us. G'day, Dan.
G'day, guys. How are we?
Where do you sit on this big question? Is Cyril Rioli the most exciting player in the history of the game?
Mate, for what he does, he's incredible. I've got to say, 8 months ago, I actually told you to grow up here, Howie. You were complaining about your bins and people parking in front of them.
Yeah, you did. That's right. That's the last time we opened the phones.
And I was on Duck's side, but this morning, mate, I'm on your side, Howie.
The best you've seen.
100%, mate. The things that guy does with 100% efficiency is just, he walks in a class of his own. He's by himself, mate. And Wayne, this morning, grow a pair of eyes, mate. We'll put some glasses on.
Right. I like it, Dan.
All right, Dan.
I like it.
Thanks for the feedback,
I
Dan.
Like that.
I tell you, the other one we've remiss of us not to mention.
Yes.
Buddy's pretty exciting.
He is, but he's not as exciting as Cyril. Okay. We'll continue on. Right. Dino's Dan. On the line. Hello, Dino. You think Cyril's the most exciting player you've ever seen?
He's not bad, Howie, but I reckon Winnie Abraham has him covered, mate.
Winnie Abraham.
Winnie was very exciting.
Who do you support, Dan?
I'm a North supporter, mate.
Right. But, who was more exciting, Rioli or Carey?
You'd probably reckon the Duck would have him covered as well, I think.
A spell. Hang up on that clown. Good on you, Dino.
Thanks, Dave.
Jack, who do you think is the most exciting player you've seen?
I don't mind Brett Burton or Ben Cousins even.
Right. Brett Burton or Ben Cousins?
Well, Burton took big grabs.
That's true.
But I would say that so did Sean Smith. So they're all big high-marking players, but I think Cyril's probably got those. And Dakes and a few of the other mentions has got him covered.
All right, we've got time for one more. Joe from Narre Warren. How are you, Joey?
I'm good. How are you, boys?
Yeah, I'm well, brother. We've put to the people whether Cyril's the most exciting player they've ever seen. What have you got for us?
I think for the fact that he could cover all areas, Gary Ablett Sr.
You know, Joe, you make a good point. And when I made this outrageous statement at the start of the show, the one great problem I had with my argument was Gary Ablett Sr.
He's hard to beat. I reckon Gaz, probably because of his consistency. So he was exciting for like 20 possessions. Cyril's exciting for 10, 12. But still, both are unbelievable. By the way, we've got to mention that Marty and Doug, Peter Dacos, out of all the callers, I reckon there's three quarters of them are all saying Peter Dacos. And Jeff Farmer from John, he thought Jeff Farmer.
Yeah, well done, and best of luck to Cyril in Game 150, and as I said, to Joel Selwood, he's a superstar playing down at the Cattery tonight in Game 200. Duck, massive game for the Melbourne Storm this week. Amy Park, 2 p.m, the Storm versus the Gold Coast Titans. It's kids come free. It's a wonderful time slot for families, and they need a win, more importantly, and a man that'll be heavily involved is Ryan Hinchcliffe. He joins us on the line now. G'day, Rhino.
Morning, boys. How's it going?
Yeah, Very good. To speak to you. Let's not dwell on last week. It was a tough loss, though, against the West Tigers, one you would have been expected to win, which makes this week really, really important. I heard the coach speak during the week about now the difficulties of making top four, Rhino.
It was. It was a very disappointing loss. You know, we had a real good opportunity to make a run for that top four spot. And, you know, it was just a very disappointing performance. We started the game quite well, and then they got a roller, and our defence was pretty soft, to be honest. And we've had a good hard look at ourselves this week, and we'll have to be, a lot better against the Titans, that's for sure.
Hey, Ryan, can we win it? Can we win the premiership? You're clearly in the AFL, you can't win it unless you finish in the top four. Can you, in the league, I'm not sure whether it's been done before, but is it possible?
Yeah, you can, absolutely. The Bulldogs finished eighth last year and made the grand final, and, it is possible. There's no doubt finishing, five to eight makes it a little bit harder, but it's been done before, and we haven't given up on that top four position just yet. But we know that if we get everyone turned up in the right frame of mind and playing the footy that we know we can, that we're capable of beating anyone, and we know that. So we're still confident. But in saying that, everyone has to be really switched on and really buy into our game plan and turn up with their heads on the weekend.
Obviously, not having Billy Slater is a massive loss because now the big four, which is, of course, Kronk, Slater, the Captain Smith and Hinchcliffe, are now down to the big three, which includes you, Ryan. So some big shoes.
Oh, I don't know if I
drove myself
in that.
No, you're my word, you are.
What about the Fijian speed machine?
The other day. Is it Marika? Give me a hand with your surname. Korobidi,
yeah.
He's worth watching.
Oh, yeah, he's very, very quick. He very explosive. He's been a real revelation for us this year. So he's a real fan favourite because he certainly gets across the ground very well.
Hey, Ryan, something really interests me about the difference between the two wonderful games that dominate the sporting landscape in Australia and Winter Rugby League and AFL is the fact that in the AFL we've got situations where Patrick Dangerfield, on the back of the paper today, no one knows whether he's going to swap clubs and go to another club. It'll be drawn out until the end of the season. It happened with Gary Ablett, it happened with Buddy Frank, and where with the NRL it's up front and we know during the season that players move on. We know that you're moving on next year to the Super League to join Huddersfield. Do you think it's a better system where it's all out on the table and everyone knows and everyone accepts it?
Yeah, I suppose the media probably wouldn't say, because I think the media enjoy speculation around it. It makes the reading, I suppose. But, for us, it's just been how our game has always been. And we understand that, players move on and they have to do what's right for them. So, it's just part of what we do. And, when players leave, it's sad as it is, we're happy for them to go and find other adventures and other challenges. And it's just how our game works, I suppose.
It would be fair to say it's a little bit easier to take if you're going to a different country, Ryan. I got a text about 10 minutes ago when we said that you were coming up, and it was from a man by the name of Nugget. He's a tattooist, Howie.
Oh,
and
see.
He obviously did Ryan's premiership tattoo. He wants to know whether you'll be lining up again. So I think he wants to know whether we're an actual realistic chance of winning it.
Yeah, I think we are, absolutely. Yeah, Nugget's out at Preston, I think. Yeah, I'm one of those northern subs. Yeah, I'm not a man for tattoos. I'd never ever get a tattoo unless I've won a grand final. And lucky enough, I've won two, and I've been able to go out there and get a couple of tattoos. So, yeah, I got 09 and 12, and I'd love to have a 15 there. So I think we're as good a chance as anyone, but you know, you need a few things to fall your way, as any team does, and but we're certainly confident that we turn up, play the footy that we know we can, that we can beat anyone.
And away from the sporting arena, Ryan, what else do you get up to, great man? Have you got any hobbies? Are you married? Have you got kids? Tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm married, got a little three-year-old, well, she's nearly three-year-old daughter, and I've got, my wife's actually 32 weeks pregnant at the moment, so we've got a couple of big months coming up. We're sort of, you know, moving, obviously we'll be moving overseas, and the wife's having a baby in about 6 weeks, and so there's plenty on at the moment, but you know, it's all looking good, and looking forward to the new challenge of going over to the Super League next year.
You must be really looking forward to the flight, Ryan, with a 3.5-year-old.
That's a big move.
I actually had a word with a doctor about sedation for kids. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on radio, but it's not something I'm looking forward to, but just, yeah, you've got to do it, I suppose.
I reckon it's one of those situations where you, what's your beautiful wife's name?
Brooke.
Where you say to Brooke, listen, the club have given us one business class ticket to fly us over, and that's me, and I got to get straight to training, and I'll see you in London.
Oh, don't worry, I'd like to do that.
Hey, Ryan, we appreciate your time, mate. Best of luck. Good up against stuff. The Titans tomorrow, 2 p.m. at Amy Park. May be a wonderful rest of the season for you and the Melbourne Storm.
Cheers, thanks, mate.
Ryan Hinchcliffe. I think it's the way to go. I think you say, I'm leaving, I'm moving on. Everyone knows about it, and you're done, Duck. It stops all this rumour and innuendo we've got here. Ducky boy, we like on this show to delve sometimes into the unusual side of sport.
Yes.
Well, our next guest is a 58-year-old by the name of Steve Graham, who is playing game number 500.
That is unbelievable. Don't worry about Boomer Harvey and Fletcher. No. 400. That's nothing.
500th game for Neil this weekend. He joins us on the line now. Hello, Steve.
Morning, Mark, and how are you, Wayne?
Very well.
Hey, mate, congratulations. 500 games today for one football club. The first obvious question is, how are you feeling, mate? You're absolutely buggered.
I've been sort of pretty lucky with, I guess, genetics, really. I've been able to recover pretty well most of the time, so, and I'm looking forward to it.
Hang on, that's 500 games in this particular league, but wasn't there a 100 or so in another league before you got here?
Yeah, that's correct. I played a few years with Sebastopol in the Barrett League and my home club, SMNW Rovers, in the Mininera League for 4 or 5 years before that. So, this is 500 with the Wimmera League and probably another 100 or so more those other couple of clubs.
So it's over 600 games. What's the secret, Steve?
I don't know. It could be the food I eat or don't eat and recovery, as I said, with a couple of quiet beers after the game.
Would it be fair to say, Steve, you're an outside player? You can't have been banged up too much.
Come on, Duck.
I know. I've played most of my football about 25, 30 years in the ruck, so can't get away from that.
No. That's
Steve, looking at some of the stats here, you played in the last premiership with Neil. Haven't listened to this, Duck. In 1981, if you don't mind. Do you remember the premiership at all?
I certainly do. It was my first year with Neil, and we had some great footballers at that time, and we walked into a premiership, and we celebrated fairly well because it had been a while since our one before that, and as I said, it's been a while since we've been since that one.
It's funny you say that because many footballers are lucky enough to walk into a club, they win a premiership, and then they think it's just going to happen again and again and again, and it hasn't happened since.
No, it hasn't. No, we've probably been in one grand final since then, and unfortunately didn't win that. But it's not an easy thing to get into a grand final.
Steve, now you're playing in game number 500 today. You're in the country, and obviously country clubs in probably the last 10 years have struggled for players, and they need to get the young blokes in. What's the average age of your opponent you're coming up against these days? Because obviously you've got them covered for experience, but as far as pace around the ground, they might have you a touch.
I reckon so, yes. I think Sharon's got a lot to answer for. I think they've brought out a faster model football. I can't catch up with it.
Have you played on some young men in your time?
Oh, yes, definitely, yes. They did have a lot of foot speed.
Post-game, are you a sort of Kale and Gatorade type man, or were you like Duck in his heyday at the Kangaroos who had a couple of beers just to finish off the game at the end of the night?
Well, without promoting alcoholism, yes, I have a few beers after the game, and that seems to have worked well over the years.
There you go, Howie. And hey, I want to ask you, now, there are a few AFL players that have superstitions before a game, and normally it's, you know, to wear the same Speedos or the same jocks. Please tell me you haven't had the same jocks for 500 games.
No, I've turned them inside out a couple of times. Yeah.
We really appreciate your time, Steve. Best of luck this weekend. 500th game for Neil. Hopefully you get a win and someone sort you out with a wheelchair to get home at the end of the night.
Thanks very much, fellas.
Steve Graham playing game number 500 this weekend, but as you said, Duck has played over 600 games.
That's unbelievable.
Mark Howe, Wayne Carey, Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Duck, we don't often get guests in the studio, but we always like it when we do, especially a man that I feel I can relate to because he's tough.
Yeah.
And he's hard.
Oh, yeah.
And he can give people a good old whack.
Because you're all of those things, aren't
That's
you,
exactly.
Howie?
Well, this is going to test you because you fancy yourself in the ring a little
I
bit, don't
do
you?
I do not. Yeah, you, against someone like you, I would.
I don't think we'll. Our next guest, Dwight the Cowboy Ritchie, joins us, a young man who's going to fight for Victoria in a couple of weeks, August 14 at the Melbourne Pavilion. It'll be on Channel 9 and Gem, which is something to look forward to.
How good
to.
Is that, by the way? On Channel 9, boxing, free to wear. Get to watch this young man fight.
Hello, mate. How are you, Dwight?
Good, thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, wonderful to have you. Let's go a little bit back into your career because basically, mate, you started your career at an age where you're not allowed to fight, which caused you a few problems early doors. Explain us what happened.
I was 17 and I was fighting in the amateurs and I wasn't really suited too well, my style and such, to the amateurs. So my trainer thought it'd be a good idea if we give the pros a bit of a go at it. And so I possibly lied on me on the information form, and
well, no one's going to pull you up having a look.
Yeah,
at
well,
you.
I didn't think anything of it. And then a couple of years later, word got back to the board and got a 6-month suspension, and they took four fights from me.
So you had four fights, you had four wins.
Yeah,
but as a 17-year-old, they ended up taking them off you.
Yeah, so they ruled him a no contest.
Right,
but more importantly, Howie, there was a reason why he lied on the form. So you might say, well, you know, told a few little porkies so he could have a fight, but there was a reason because. Needed the money to help look after the family.
Yeah, enough. I moved down here as a 16-year-old and I was staying at a mate's house and I had no money coming in and this was my dream. This is the whole reason I come here. So, you know, I had to do what I could to make ends meet.
I always enjoy the boxers with the different nicknames. Cowboy. Where do we get cowboy? Is this because you wear a hat and boots or what? You ride a horse?
Yeah, no. Or just growing up in the country, mate, we always had horses and... I didn't think too much of it, but then when I got down here, you know, the bloke started calling me cowboy. It just stuck, really, from when I walked in the gym. I didn't think too much of it. I didn't think it was so different, but
no, I like it.
I don't know. Yeah.
Now you got a big fight coming up. The original fighter that you're meant to fight, he's pulled out, so he's running.
Scared.
He's running scared.
That's it.
Yeah. Supposed back problems.
Supposedly.
Yeah. So you're fighting an Adelaide boy, Mark Dolby. How much preparation these days goes into now, obviously studying what he's done and what he's all about?
Mate, really, you need a good 8 to 10 weeks. No matter who you're fighting, it doesn't matter if it be a low-level fighter or a high-level fighter. You need to know who you're fighting and you need to be prepared as best you can. And, you know, a lot of hours goes into the gym before you can be ready to get in there and do what you got to do.
Ducky,
you know?
As you know, I've had the pleasure of spending a lot of time with athletes across all sorts of sports.
Yep.
And I've got to say, years ago, I went to a training camp with Kostyuzu and we spent 3 days watching him train. And generally, boxers, I don't think anyone trains as hard as boxers do. Tell us a little bit about your regime, not just in the ring, but what you do to get yourself for fit for a fight, cowboy.
Well, mate, you know, every morning, 5 in the morning, you've got to be up and you go... You go and do your 10K runs and then, you know, hopefully get a little rest in before you come back to the gym in the afternoon where, you know, if you haven't got sparring, you've got, you know, 10 rounds of pads or you've got bag work and you know, skipping and all those other little things like speedballs and stuff like that, mate. It's just non-stop.
How do you go on the speedball? Because I find on the third punch, then that's it for me. One, two, 3 inches. It's very hard to coordinate, cowboy, isn't it?
Yeah,
do you get more than 3 or 4 in?
Yeah, you can't go too hard too quick.
Well,
mate.
That's my problem.
You'd be doing over 300 in the 3 minutes or the minute or whatever.
Oh, now it would be. But, you got to get your power right into it, mate. Otherwise, it just goes everywhere.
Now, you have sparred some big names. You've sparred with Daniel Beal and also Sammy Solomon.
Yep.
What was that like?
Mate, it was a really great experience. You know, the first couple of times I sparred them both, I was a bit nervous, but yep. it was good to mix it with blokes that have been on the world stage. And, you know, I like to think I held my own and it was, you know, it was a really good confidence boost. And, you know, plus you can't take away from that experience that you get from sparring those kind of level of guys. So.
Dwight, the man to your right doesn't need any confidence boost, as I said. Oh. He fancies himself, and he said in the ad break, he looked at you and he said, I'd take that young one in a round and a half. How long do you reckon it'd take him before the duck was eating the canvas?
Oh, I don't know, mate. The duck's a big boy.
No, come on.
I've got to stick to my own weight division, I reckon.
Well, no, I still think you could take him.
Howie, you are a goose.
That's what you said, quote.
I tell you what, though. Listen, August the 14th, Howie. Yep. Get down. Watch this man
Melbourne
fight.
Pavilion.
And obviously, it's live on Channel 9. So if you can't get down there, watch him fight. Support our young athletes. And what a great story, Howie. I mean, undefeated and had to... you know, help feed the family, and that's why he lied on his form. Sometimes lies can be a good thing, Howie.
As I read in your book. Dwight, we really appreciate your time, mate. Best of luck in the fight. Dwight,
thanks,
the Cowboy Richie. Get along and have a look at him. Melbourne Pavilion on Friday, August 14, and you can watch it on 9 and Gem. The first time a Victorian has been on free-to-air since the 1980s. Coming up, we'll go to San Francisco to find out whether Jarryd Hayne is going to make the cut. Mark Howard, Wayne Carey. That was the Cowboy, Dwight Richie, on the Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Great news that Jarryd Hayne continues his extraordinary journey over in the NFL, trying to make the roster for the San Francisco 49ers. We now go to San Francisco to a man, well, he's the king of media over there. He's the team reporter for the San Francisco. His name is Joe Fan. He joins us now. G'day, Joe.
Hey, how we doing, fellas? I appreciate you having me on.
No, we appreciate you being on. Tell us, it was a big week this week for Jarryd Hayne because for the first time he put the pads on and had a go. How did he go?
Yeah, I think it was really all good signs for Jarryd Hayne. I think, you know, there was so much anticipation. You see the workouts and OTAs and minicamp and the progress in the first couple days of training camp. I mean, one thing you can't deny is you can understand why the 49ers bring him in here, because he is a world-class athlete, and that's noticeable. Just you look at him, you look at his stature. I mean, this guy is built like a horse. I mean, he's a huge guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's fun to see him put the pads on. And you know, I asked him before they put pads on, I said, hey, you know, everyone's talking about you taking a hit, but you're a big guy yourself. Are you excited to lower the shoulder and hit somebody? And he was fairly coy about it and, you know, took the humble approach, which was good on him. But you see him in the, you know, hitting the sled. I posted a Vine on Twitter of him lowering his shoulder into the sled, and he pushed it just as much, if not more, as every other running back going through the drill. And so what really stands out about him is outside of his athleticism. I mean, he's got great hands. He looks like a smooth route runner. I think if you watch him just run routes, whether it's just in drills or in full team periods, like running plays, you wouldn't look at this as a guy who's just playing football for the first couple of months of his entire career. And so he's very, very natural. And so I really like what I've seen so far. And obviously the next step is seeing him in a preseason game.
Joe, from what I can gather reading a little bit about it this week, they're trying to adjust his running style from an upright style and change that a little bit. What's the theory behind that?
It's one of those things where you just want to avoid showing your numbers to a linebacker who's coming to get you, right? You want to protect yourself, use your shoulder to where you have a little bit of leverage as well and can be the hammer sometimes instead of always being the nail. And oftentimes you see running backs, you know, running over linemen and linebackers and cornerbacks and safeties in the secondary. And so, you know, it's a balance of not being too upright, but also that it's not even just his running style, but it's that getting used to taking a handoff and then having the balance of patience to wait for the play to develop in front of you and find the hole, and then also hitting the hole hard once you find it. And so that's the delicate balance that it just takes time. All you can do is just get more reps to get more comfortable. But I don't think a guy like Jarryd Hayne, as good an athlete as he is going to have an issue with that.
He's obviously got the physical capabilities and he's learning the game. How much does he need to learn play-wise, Joe? It's such a massive part of your game, set plays. How many type of different routes and plays is a man like Jarryd Hayne going to have to learn?
Oh, man, I mean, it's a little bit endless. And I think it's less in terms of the routes. I feel like the routes will be fairly elementary for him. I don't think that will be complicated. I mean, they're simple outs or, you know, quick slants to the middle. I mean, none of those routes are going to be rocket science. Mm. What it's going to be is the protection schemes and what guy on the defense that he's obligated to pick up in pass protection, you know, to help keep Colin Kaepernick upright. And that's a little bit tougher because every team does pass protection a little bit different, and every play is going to call for different pass protection schemes. And so sometimes he might be in charge of picking up a blitz, or sometimes He might wait there and see if a blitz comes, and if it doesn't, then he has to go run a route. So that's where things get tricky in the playbook.
Now, Joe, how many players are on the roster at this stage? How many does it get cut down to? And how many blokes really is Jared directly competing with for a spot?
Well, you're allowed to have 90 at this juncture. The 49ers are a couple under that, but you know, they're signing guys to fill those spots. They actually made a sign today, so they are at 90.
Right.
And then by the time the season starts, you have to be at 53, and then you'll have a 10-man practice squad, which are inactive players, but still basically a scout team, if you will, just extra practice bodies who have the option to be called up for games to the active roster if guys get hurt. It's far too early to kind of judge what are his chances of making the 53 just because you haven't seen him in a game yet. And you can't judge a couple of padded practices and plenty of practices and shorts and the T-shirt based on, is this guy going to make the 53? It's definitely going to be a tough task. It's a competitive group, but, you think just strictly numbers, going from 90 to 53 is almost a 50-50 split. And so, just inherently making an NFL roster is very difficult, let alone for a rookie who's never played the game before.
Hey, Joe, we really appreciate your time. We might try and catch up with you after that first practice match. Have a wonderful afternoon in San Francisco. We'll speak with you soon.
Sounds great. You guys take care.
That was Joe Fan, team reporter of the San Francisco 49ers.
Can run with a bit of room. He's got Rioli. He locks on Ciro.
Ciro! Get around him, boys!
What about that? It was set up from a leap. Beautiful play by Hill. Ciro flew high, high and high and high again. Hit the ground running, kicked the goal.
He's a star. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard, Wayne Carey. It has been Ciro week all week. Now, can we talk about the great man?
No, we're not talking Ciro just yet, Howie.
Why not?
Because we're going to be talking to Fox Sports' very own Mark Bosnich. We'll talk Ciro a little bit later. Bozza, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks, champion. How are you, boys?
Hey, Bozza, well, what do you think about Ciro's 150th?
Oh, outstanding. I'm a Hawthorn supporter, so
yes.
I love him. And it's obviously a massive game for them against the West Coast Eagles. They had a poor result last week against Richmond, but I think they'll win this week because if they don't, they can pretty much kiss goodbye second place or any chance of first.
Oh, Bozza. Bozza's just the cross. Absolutely everything.
I love my AFL. You boys know that. Wayne knows. I always done, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm
just
a sport man.
Just like me, Bozza, all over the Premier League. And it starts again tonight.
For
the first question, can Chelsea defend their title?
I think they're going to go very close, but this is going to surprise a lot of people. I don't think so because I've tipped somebody else, and it's not Manchester City either, nor Manchester United.
Oh, Bozza, are you going to tell us now? Or are you going to release it on Fox Sports tonight?
No, I'll call you back tomorrow and say no, it's okay. I'm going to go for a little bit of a shock, even though they're third favourites. I think Arsenal are going to break their drought and win their first title since 2004.
Wow.
I just think that the signing of Petr Cech is an outstanding goalkeeper for Chelsea for so long, has won everything. He's probably the second last piece of the jigsaw they need, and I believe that they will sign another big name right before the end of the transfer window, which finishes right at the end of August. So I think that Arsenal will pip Chelsea for the title this year.
Are you telling me you're tipping Arsenal because they signed a goalkeeper? All they do, they just stand there, Bozza. They don't even involved him for
30 minutes. Very, very true. But if you go through the history, if you have a look at great sides in any sport, you have to have a few vital ingredients, so to speak. And one of them is a great goalkeeper. And Arsenal haven't had that probably since, I would say, David Seaman, even though Jens Lehmann obviously played in their 2004 unbeaten season, and I think that he's going to make such a difference, and we'll see that because such a confidence will run throughout the whole side.
Talking about your old side, Manchester United, big signing with Dutch boy Bastian Schweinsteiger. Can he get the job done?
Yeah, German boy Bastian Schweinsteiger. The Dutch boy you're on about is Memphis Depay, who's come for £32 million, is big money.
Wow.
And he's going to take up the number 7 jersey, which is left behind by Di Maria, who's gone to Paris Saint-Germain, so to recoup some money from Di Maria. And also another one from Southampton, Morgan Schneiderlin. He'll come in into the side as well. So there's going to be a lot of new players coming into Manchester United. They steadied the ship last season after the season before when it was a bit of a debacle. But I think they can win it, don't get me wrong. But I just think there's going to be too many players just to bet in all at once. So I think they're more likely to win maybe an FA Cup or a League Cup or Europa League if they happen to pop out of the Champions League early doors. then go on and win the title.
There's so many games coming up on Fox Sports. The first one, Manchester United versus Tottenham. And then, Duck, every single game is on. The boys
Arsenal, West Ham on the Sunday.
That's it. Robbie Slater, Adam Peacock, a 40-minute pre-game show. You just sort of quickly moved over a £32 million transfer. Bozza, if I don't want to get scrutinising your bank account, but what was your transfer deal to Manchester United worth?
that's personal, buddy. I said this to somebody, actually, somebody from Perth yesterday. They asked about the money that was being thrown about, and it's more than when we played, but and wages have gone up every year. But as my old chairman used to say at Aston Villa, that clubs would never pay something for a player which they couldn't recoup. So it's just really basically the game is shown in over 200 countries. Over 100 nationalities are played in the league. There's a massive market for the game, and the last TV deal worldwide was worth over £5 billion to the club. So they have plenty of money. I think that the big difference is with a lot of sports is that the majority of the money goes to the players, so it should.
Bozzy, you were on the sort of tens of thousands of pounds a week territory, Duck, which is extraordinary. What are you spending on, Bozzer?
Supply and demand. Supply and demand. Like I said to you, look, it's a massive market, it's very, very fortunate to play at the time that I did, and there's no salary cap, which I don't think there should be. People are allowed to earn what they can, and are rewarded for doing really, really well.
I'm with you, Bozzer. We played the wrong game, Howie. I should have been a goalkeeper.
I tell you what, there's a salary cap at Triple M, and I'm right down the bottom of my buzzer. Hey, Bozza, we appreciate your time. Fox Sports kicks off tonight. We love it. You and Adam Peacock, Robbie Slater.
Thank
every
so
game
much.
Of EPL, you can see the great Mark Bosnich, who's sitting there on top of his wallet. We must talk about one of the most anticipated games of the home and away season, Hawthorn versus West Coast. We already spoke about the situation that Nick Natanui is out of the West Coast side for family reasons. Can the Hawks get the job done over West and keep their top two hopes alive?
Look, I've tipped the Hawks. It's an intriguing game because West Coast obviously have had a lot of defenders out, and the way they zone and the way Hawthorn used the footy going inside 50, clearly last week wasn't a great example, but they're just so good at Hawthorn at using the footy and pinpointing passes and, you know, 10, 11 individual goal kickers. And they really do zone West Coast. It'll be interesting,
big
like
ground.
I said, just to see big ground, whether they can zone and keep the Hawks to a low enough score to beat them. But it really will be a battle of the forward lines. We know that West Coast, it's a great strength of theirs. And I've said enough about Hawthorn already. It's going to be an absolute ripper.
Could West Coast win the premiership?
Well, let me answer that next week. If they beat the Hawks, and I look off the back of what they've done, you've got to say yes, Howie. So can Richmond. I mean, West Coast the only team that's beaten Richmond. Richmond have beaten all the other teams in that top eight except for West Coast. So that suggests that West Coast can. But this is the big acid test tonight. This is the number one challenge. And can you believe this is the first time they've met? Other teams have met twice, and this is the first time they've met.
Cyril,
the draw's
kick,
not right.
Cyril will kick eight tonight. All right, joke off. What do you got for us?
Okay, a husband and wife were driving through Louisiana.
As they
approached Natchitoches, they started arguing about the pronunciation of the town.
Oh, yes.
They argued back and forth, and they stopped for lunch at the counter. The husband asked the blonde waitress, before we order, could you please settle an argument for us? Would you please pronounce where we are very slowly? She leaned over the counter and said, Burger King.
I bet the butcher $50 he couldn't reach the meat on the top of the shelf. He said, do you want to take the bet on? He said, no way. The stakes are too high. Mark Howe, Wayne Carey, Dead Set Legends. See you next week. Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by Harvey Norman's Bonus Wine Offer on Selected Electrical.